The scripture is out of the book of Acts this morning, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, and verses 12 and 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven, like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this the sound of the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." I deliberately edited this. If you notice, there's mention of different places, and I wasn't for sure the tongue twisting things like Phrygia and Cappadocia. If I was going to be able to say it, I would be speaking in tongues if I was doing that today. You know, we talk about Pentecost, and everybody's wearing beautiful colors today, even those who are wearing green out there. But anyway, in England or Great Britain, they don't wear red. They wear white. They call it Whit Sunday. And actually, in the Church of England, that's when they do a lot of their baptisms and christenings on this day, and Whit Sunday is what it's called. So I thought that's an interesting way they sort of shifted the tradition around a little bit. But hey, the British, they're wonderful people. They have their own ways of doing things. Now, in this sermon today, you know, I preached it down at the Presbyterian Homes today, and I'm not for sure how it went across, because, you know, when we're delving with the Holy Spirit, it is something that, you know, we really almost go into the twilight zone, because it's a subject we rarely ever hear about. I remember growing up in the church, I didn't hear that much about the Holy Spirit being preached. I think we were scared, and I'll tell you the reason why a little later on. But the impact of the Holy Spirit revolutionized the church forever. And even now, the Holy Spirit continues to influence Christians in various ways. For the church, nothing like it had ever happened previously, and it revealed that God, and I'm using this in the present, God is always active in our world. You know, the idea, the symbolism that God has wound up, everything is sitting in heaven, minding God's own business, that's not exactly what the Bible says about it. God seeks to be intimate here on earth. But you know, the only problem in the contemporary church is that we don't acknowledge or give enough credit to the Holy Spirit as we should. God sent the Holy Spirit so we may depend upon God daily, not just speak about it on Pentecost Sunday. Acknowledgement, and I'm going to give acknowledgement, should be given to the Pentecostal and charismatic churches for their dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Criticism aside, at least they are not afraid of the Holy Spirit, and neither should we. The word for tongues in the Greek is glossolalia. Say that fast 5 times. Glossolalia. At one time, it was feared more than leprosy in most mainline churches. A friend who was a missionary candidate along with me confessed to the mission, I call it the Inquisition Committee, that she delved into glossolalia once, and the committee told her bluntly that she wouldn't be appointed unless she agreed never to practice it again. Well, she promised. But now, it strikes me as a little humorous tidbit, that someone who would be sent overseas to learn a new language was forbidden to speak one given to her by the Holy Spirit. Now, hear me, I'm not saying that I condone or approve of it, but there is irony found in it somewhere. A preacher friend told me one time, we were really close, he was a friend of mine, he pastored the First Alliance Church in Miami, First Christian and Missionary Alliance Church, and next to his church was an Assembly of God congregation. And occasionally visitors mistakenly entered his church, believing it to be a Pentecostal congregation, and they would stand up and start babbling in unknown tongues, or that's what they thought it was. But my friend would interrupt and politely inform the visitor that they were possibly in the wrong place, since his church did not practice that spiritual gift. During my beginning years in ministry, I would tongue-in-cheek remark, if someone in a church of mine stood up and spoke in tongues, I'd throw a hymnal at them. I've mellowed out since then. I don't throw hymnals anymore. But the thing is, we have to remember that perhaps the interpretation and translation should be more languages. Tongues kind of is an archaic type of vocabulary, but languages. You know, there are a lot of people gifted with learning languages. Now, I'm not saying, you know, some people may, the Holy Spirit may indwell within them to speak a language immediately, but most of us would have to go to a language school or maybe learn a language upon our own. And so, a lot of times, I still believe that gift is a gift from the Holy Spirit, but it's according to what you use it for. And I think if you go overseas, visit a missionary, people are gifted in that. So it's not as complicated nor as mystic as we'd like to think it is. Christ defined the Holy Spirit as our comforter. In the Gospel of St. John, Christ defined that as the comforter and teacher who would teach us all things. You know, I think the reason people could be leery of the Holy Spirit, you know, the King James calls it the Holy Ghost, is that there's something spooky connected to the unknown. In 1891, the White House was electrified and lighting fixtures were installed. President and Mrs. Benjamin Harrison were not very enthusiastic about Mr. Edison's invention. In fact, they were terrified about the possibility of getting shocked. Plus, convinced that electrical gas fumes came from the light sockets and from the switches. And so the president would request the servants to flip the light switches off and on. It was witnessed out on the street on Pennsylvania Avenue that some night the lights remained on all night at the White House, because sometimes the Harrisons, no servants were available to flip the switches. Let the servants get electrocuted, but they were expendable, is probably what it could boil down to. So you see, sometimes when we get a new gadget, or have you ever rented a car and you realize it didn't come with a key but a push button, or perhaps it's various things, you know, it's anymore. Dashboards look like a jumbo jet. I mean, whatever you have to do, you know, that it's not simple anymore. Or a new cell phone. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That's why you need to call a teenager to get you to learn to operate a cell phone nowadays, or a computer. But those things are scary. They're leery. Or perhaps the doctors put you on a new medicine. You don't know how it's going to react, you know, to it. So a lot of things we have fear. But, you know, they say 99.9% of those fears never come into actuality. But we worry about it. We get fearful about them. And what happens is, like when we discuss the Holy Spirit, we're not quite for sure what we're talking about. It is that murky, because the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit here on earth to serve us in that regard there. So today, you know, sometimes in that setting we see in Jerusalem, you know, talks about tongues of fire. What took place probably looked like a three-ring circus out there, because they were being ridiculed and criticized. What are they doing and all that when the Holy Spirit came upon the early church? And it was more than just the apostles. There were quite a few people that this happened to. They were congregated to. But today, regardless of beliefs and practices, none of us should ridicule or criticize somebody's faith if their practice is a little different than ours. So, what was going on here? Signs and wonders? Yes. Why don't we see that here in the States or over in Europe? Well, we are pretty institutionalized. But you go to a third world country and visit a church, and you're going to see that. It is reenacting the book of Acts. You will see a lot of signs and wonders that you are not familiar with here. You know, when I became a missionary to Brazil, I remember the first Sunday I attended a Brazilian church. I thought I'd landed on the moon. I had never seen anything like it. I said, what are they doing? They're very animated in the worship styles, and I was not used to this. I joke, I was a North American iceberg in South America. So, what do? You know what? When in Rome, I had to adapt to that attitude. I could not criticize for people the style of worship they had. And neither should people criticize our style of worship as well. Because as long as it glorifies God, that's the most important thing about it. So all this going on here in Jerusalem, it must have brought some confusion even among the elite disciples too. But we know in the scripture it says God is not the author of confusion. And also that scripture verse, the Presbyterians love is, all things should be done decently and in order. Well, you know, it was probably not thought of at that moment because it was quite chaotic. But God, remember, through the Holy Spirit, was still in control. I remember a New Zealand couple down in Brazil. They ran an orphanage, Mark and Annie Overton, very close friends of mine. And one day, it was on a Saturday, Anne called me. She had a very posh British accent. She had, Anthony, would you like to come over to our worship service tomorrow? It's going to be in English. And she said, I know you're dying to hear some English spoken. And I said, I would be grateful to hear that. Actually, what I said back to her, I'd said, righto. And then I went over there the next morning, and it was one of the most memorable worship services I can recall. We were sitting outside. Of course, it was right by the ocean, the beach. There were palm trees, and there was always a good breeze blowing. And we celebrated the Lord's Supper outdoors. I still recall it as one of the best church services I ever attended. Well, there was a mission team from Chicago there. And that was one of the reasons that they had the English service. And so after the sermon was over and we'd have done the Lord's Supper, they requested Mark and Ann and I to come down. And there were several palm trees, stand by a palm tree. And they broke up into three groups and surrounded each of us and to pray with us and lay hands on us. Well, I was bowing my head and they were praying, you know, usually in English, and all of a sudden I heard a blah, 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 blah. And I thought, what's going on here? What's going on here? They were speaking in what they said were tongues. Now, I was chilled out by that time. By the hymn-throwing days were over with, so I said, you know, if they're receiving a blessing from it, who am I to criticize them? So I allowed them to continue. But it was a new experience for me, believe it or not. And I don't know what they said. Nobody had an interpreter there. But whatever it was, I went away feeling like, you know, God probably answered their prayers on that regard. So, you know, in that regard, I was thinking the book of Acts, it was going on there. And so we all will experience some things sometime in the power of the Holy Spirit that we're not quite for sure about. You know, as a result of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, the church was reinvigorated with a vivacious enthusiasm. They were electrified. This has enabled, and you notice I'm using now more of a present and a future tense, this has enabled the church to impact the world with compassion, kindness, caring, and of course love, in which no human force could ever accomplish alone. Only through the Holy Spirit can these attributes be actually done on an honest value basis. God will never abandon us because the Holy Spirit is God's personal guarantee of permanency, strength, support, and encouragement. You know, some churches today will roll in a birthday cake It's the birthday of the church. I can't imagine 2,000 candles on a birthday cake, but they do bring in a cake, and they sing happy birthday to the church because this is the official birthday of the church. Even though we know Christ spoke about the church in the Gospel of St. Matthew, you know, upon this rock I will build my church, but actually it became practically into existence by this Pentecost Sunday, and that's when the church began to expand and move out beyond Jerusalem, started going into Samaria, started going into Damascus, and going, and eventually we know the Apostle Paul took it into Europe. So the mission of the church has never stopped. You said, well, you know, it looks like to me around here, the church, we've got churches on every corner. But I'm always reminded of a scripture verse in the book of Joshua 1. God spoke to Joshua and says, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Do you realize that even in our community, there are people who have not heard the gospel? And it requires every new generation for it to get out there. Yes, we know that everything, that we've got churches galore around here, but there will be people fall through the cracks. And that's where the Holy Spirit can play a role, if we will pray that the Holy Spirit will help those people come to God and maybe use us to help them to do so. So we have still have a mission. We still have our version of the book of Acts, even here in Polk County. So don't forget it, that God can still use us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not sitting on the shelves just waiting. If we allow the Holy Spirit to use us, we can expect marvelous and wonderful things. This Pentecost Sunday, let the Holy Spirit mold and guide your lives. In reality, none of us can get by through life without it. So do you feel the Spirit? You may. I hope so. But think about the Holy Spirit this week and how the Holy Spirit has taught you, encouraged you, and comforted you through thick and thin. You will come back thinking, hey, I do know the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, on this day of Pentecost, we do thank you for sending the Holy Spirit in the absence of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us out when in all things 24/7. Help, forgive us, O Lord, when we have neglected the third part of the Holy Trinity. Help and guide us and lead us, and may we give more credit to the Holy Spirit than we have before. Bless and keep us in your steadfast care through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.